Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good evening, listeners. You've just tuned in to the Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio Show. It's June 9th, 2013, and we've got a great set of guests coming up on tonight's show. But before we get the show rolling, I'd like to bring on my co-host and brother in martial arts, all the way from Burbank, California, Sifu Robert Deal. Sifu Bob, how you doing this evening?
You know, I'm doing wonderful. You know, I cannot believe that the Masters is 2 weeks away.
Yeah, it's not too far away at all. In fact, I was looking at the calendar earlier because I had to schedule some other stuff, and I was like, huh, oh my gosh, I gotta get the travel toothbrushes. I gotta get all sorts of stuff, and oh my gosh, I better get packing now so that way I'm not packing the night before, and you having to pick up some grumpy girl from the airport because I haven't gotten any sleep. So.
Well, I really know you, and I know you are going to procrastinate. You are going to pack the night before, and I'm going to pick up some grumpy girl. That's a given.
You know what? There was this point in time where Grandmaster Cheryl Johnson, if she had to pick me up, if my car was down or something like that, she would pick me up from work because I'd be grumpy after work too. She'd pick me up from work, and the second I come in the car, she'd automatically have a coffee stuck in my face, and I'd just kind of go ugh, and then drink it, and then 5 minutes later I'd be fine, and then I'd start telling her about my day and stuff like that, and she's like, "Geez."
Oh, nice.
No,
you know,
but
this week was funny. My daughter wants to go up to this fair with a bunch of her friends. Now, a lot of her friends need rides. I don't mind. First thing my daughter says to me when she gets in the car, "Dad, don't say anything that's going to embarrass me. You're not funny." She said, "You think you're funny, but you're not funny."
Oh, I think you're funny.
I know I said a lot of people are going to disagree with you, but you're a girl, you're my daughter, you're 15, I understand where you're coming from, I won't embarrass you. So that really limited my vocabulary on the drive. I didn't say a word.
Oh, well, I think you're funny. So that kind of makes me wonder, you know, do kids think that all adults are not funny?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, which is funny because, you know, sometimes I don't think kids sometimes I don't think kids are funny. But
No, different world. But, you know, you sent me an email this week I thought was a little strange about tonight's show. And it had no title or anything to it, but it said Ms. Rosita De Jesus. Tell me about that. Why the Ms. all of a sudden?
Oh, well, it's because, you know, I've gotten enough of people, and I'm not talking ill about people. I've gotten enough of people just assuming I'm a sir. And I get that a lot on online forums that, you know, because I don't usually put my picture up as an avatar on online forums. Like on one online forum, right, I've got like the tiger character from Kung Fu Panda, right? So no one knows if I'm a gallery girl. However, on that forum, I am Sea Town Lassie. Okay, so Lassie, all right. Who knows? Maybe people think that I'm talking about a dog or something. Who knows? Like Lassie the Collie, right?
But Lassie was a girl.
Yeah, but Lassie was a girl. And, you know, but I've gotten a lot of people assuming I was a guy, like all over the internet. And finally, I just kind of went, okay, I'm just going to sign my name, Ms. Rosita De Jesus. So that way it, like, took away any question.
Wow. But you know, Sifu, there is one thing that you don't know. Did you know I know your sister?
What?
Did you know I know your sister? I know your sister. Her name is Ingling. Ms. Ingling.
Oh my god.
God, she's going to cough up a lung.
Oh, gosh. Oh, I know, right? I just caught this cold, and I'm thinking, you know what? This better not turn into that nasty crap that I had, like, last month when I was down for a month. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, my gosh. But, no, it's just a regular old cold, but I am coughing up a lung. That was funny. I'm like, how do you know my sister? But she, what? You know? Ms. Englink. Oh, gosh. I'm going to you need a second one of these.
Oh,
that was awesome.
Ooh, that deserved two.
Yeah, it did. That was that was good. All right, so listeners, our phone number here is 347-677-0699. We've got great guests coming up. So in our second segment, starting at about 6:30 or 6:35 Pacific time, we're going to have Grandmaster Daryl Vidal, and I hope I said your name correctly, Grandmaster. We're going to have Grandmaster Daryl Vidal with us, Kempo Grandmaster. So we'll be calling him at about 6:30, 6:35, around that time. And then after that segment, we're gonna have Professor Gurley Abad of Kaju Kempo, and we hope to have her on at around 7:15-ish or so. So if any of the Abad family is listening, we'd love it if you called us, 347-677-0699, at about 7:15 or so. So, all right. So, you know, Bob, I've gotten a few questions about the format of our show for the last month. Now, as our listeners might have noticed, that we've had multiple guests on our shows for this past month in honor of the Masters Hall of Fame. And I've had a couple people actually, you know, IMing me through Facebook and stuff going, hey, what happened to the weird news and the health news and what happened to Bob's weird news? I mean, some people live to hear your weird news, Bob.
Nice.
Which I think is pretty cool. So, and then I realized, oh my gosh, we have forgotten about our weird news and the laws and the health news and stuff like that, so that way we could fit in as many of our nominees, 2013 nominees of the Masters Hall of Fame on the show. And then I realized after getting the most current confirmed nominee list that, you know, even if we had 8 people on a show from now until Masters, there's no way we're going to fit everyone on. So I was like, oh, well, you know what? So today, we're not going to forget about health news and weird news and shout-outs. So, yay!
Absolutely.
So for those of you that were wondering, okay, here we go with our shout-outs and stuff. So let's get on with the shout-outs. I want to start because I want to send a big congratulations to you, Sifu Bob, for being nominated. And I just heard about this the other day, folks. Sifu Robert was nominated by the president of the Martial Arts History Museum, Michael Matsuda. Sifu Bob was nominated into the Martial Arts History Museum Hall of Honors. So, yay! Thank you, thank you, thank you for being a great asset to the martial arts community. That's awesome.
Well, do you know who really nominated me? He approved it, but do you know who nominated me? And I couldn't believe it.
Who's that?
It was Art Camacho.
Whoa, right on.
Yeah, I was actually taken aback by it.
Yay!
I was like, you know, maybe they're having an event or something, and Sifu Matsuda just wants to let me know about it, and then I'm reading it, and I literally could not answer him for like an hour. I was like dumbfounded. What do I say? I can't say anything. Why me?
Now you know how I felt when you nominated me.
right. But see, this was a little bit unusual because most of the nominations come from individuals outside of the museum.
Mm-hmm.
This was actually a board member that nominated me. So it really struck a chord with me, and I thank when I see him in 2 weeks, I'm definitely gonna thank Professor Camacho and shake his hand and say thank you very much. I'm humbled and honored by this nomination.
Yeah,
and it's not even close. It's at the Burbank Holiday Inn.
Oh yeah, that's not just a hop, skip, and a jump from your place. Right on.
Right.
Very cool. And this is going to be when? the award ceremony is when?
September 7th.
September 7th at the Burbank Holiday Inn. Awesome. Very cool. Wow. Thank you, Sifu Art Camacho, for nominating my brother Bob. It's well deserved, and I'm glad you were recognized for the Hall of Honors. That's awesome. Pictures. I want pictures.
Lots of them. And you
lots
know, I'll tell you what happens. They're asking me for a headshot, bunch of pictures, bio. And what happens when you get called up, your bio gets read and your pictures go through a slideshow presentation as you're heading up to the podium. And then you get up to 5 minutes to speak in front of this, you know, 200. And I
that's
told,
like the Oscars.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this guy used to do things like that. Michael Masuda used to produce events like the Oscars. And
he
said,
okay.
You get 5 minutes to talk, and I said, I'm going to be so nervous I may even wet myself.
Don't do that
and,
in a tux.
And I do this every week. I shouldn't do that. I'll make a couple jokes, thank everybody, and be done. I'll be done in a minute and a half.
Wow. Like the Oscars. Man, if there's like a DVD of this footage, I'd love to buy it. I think that would be cool.
Very cool. I'll ask Sifu Masuda. Now, I'm going to be at the museum next week. Now, I didn't, because the museum's so close, I didn't just answer his email. I went down and saw him.
Is this real? It's so close you can walk.
That's right.
Right? Like, and when you drove me there, I was like, we can walk here. This is cool.
It is. It absolutely. Now, when I went there, I'm going to go there next Sunday because they are having a Guinness Book of World Records there. A gentleman, I can't remember his name, is going to do a hardcore 6,000 full contact kicks in 1 hour.
Oh, my God.
Full contact.
I'm looking.
How can you even put your foot down?
I know, right? Let's see. I'm looking this up to see who it might be. In 1 hour, Guinness. No, not beer. Let's see.
No, and the
oh, here we go. Let's see here. He's the holder of multiple Guinness World Records. Next, he's going to... Oh, where did it go? I saw it. I Googled it, you know, 6,000 kicks in 1 hour, Guinness. And it took me to a Facebook page, but it shows me the whole page. So it's kind of like I can't... Oh, here we go. Welcome to our newest employee. I guess this guy works at Santa Monica Mountain Cyclery. His name is Ron, and he's an avid road cyclist and mountain biker. He's also an actor and stuntman, and he's a holder of multiple Guinness World Records. Next up, he's going to go for the most full contact kicks in 1 hour. He's shooting for 6,000. So,
wow.
But it doesn't give...
That is going to be so cool to see.
Yeah. Well, right
awesome.
On. Kudos to Ron. I don't know your last name, Ron. Kudos for Santa Monica Mountain Cyclery for, I guess, in a sense, being a sponsor for him for this endeavor. So good luck to you, Ron. You're going to do just fine. You're going to do just fine. Yeah. So, if you can get any type of footage of that, too, that would be great. In fact, I would want to have that guy on the show.
I think so. Maybe I'll approach him next weekend if he's not too... inundated with photos and that sort of thing.
I think that would be great.
No, it's going to be awesome. It's
going to
be an incredible experience.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, congrats again, Bob, for being nominated. That's awesome. Right on. Do you have any shout-outs before I go into the rest of mine? Or
No, go ahead. I don't have any this week because we changed our format the last few weeks, so nobody's sending me anything right now.
Yeah. Well, can send them in, folks. Dynamic Dojo Radio Show on Facebook. If you have anything that you want us to announce, please put it on there. Or you can get on our chat board and start typing away. Or send us an email.
Sifu, I did want to announce that we are on every social media now. We have a group page on LinkedIn. We have the Facebook page. We have a Twitter page. Follow us, everybody.
Yeah.
Follow us so you can keep informed on the show and what's happening and that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, and keep listening, folks. You know, and if you have an idea for a show, you know, please don't be afraid to let us know what your idea would be, or if you have an idea for a guest, you know, or if you want to volunteer to be a guest in your line of expertise in fitness or even hobbies or whatever. I mean, you know, our show, you know, because me and Sifu Bob like to have fun, although it is very martial art related, let's not, you know, regulate it to just martial arts. You know, we want to talk to anyone out there that's making a difference in their community and is enjoying what activity they're doing, whatever, fishing, I don't care. It's going to be cool. Okay. So I want to put a shout-out out there to all the recent graduates, the people that are graduating. And if you haven't graduated, it's going to be pretty soon. So all the people graduating out of elementary school, out of middle school, or do they call it middle school there in California? We call it middle school over here. So middle school, high school, college, graduate school. Congratulations, you guys, for all of you, all the graduates out there that are graduating throughout the United States, you guys are the future, and go out there and get them.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
That's
absolutely
great.
Awesome. Awesome. I just have one more shout out. I want all our listeners to go to the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page and check out some of the great videos that our regular listeners have posted. One of our regulars, Elastic Steel, has posted another great video about how body positioning when throwing a front kick can make a difference between you going down or your opponent going down. And it's just a small change in position that can make that large difference. So check out that video. Now, Elastic Steel has always great videos about tips on improving your kicks, especially stretching, and detailed information on muscle groups that you should be strengthening or not strengthening, because a lot of people will overstretch muscles that probably don't do as much work in kicks or techniques as we think they do. So do check out Elastic Steel's video. He's on YouTube, and subscribe to it. It's awesome information. Okay, and our next regular is Master Roland Osborne, and he posted a video by Hyper Martial Arts, and this is a great video. It's a video about martial artists talking about what it takes to be awesome, not only in tournaments, but also in life. What counts most happens off the mat. And it's a wonderful video. Go check it out on the Dynamic Dojo Radio Facebook page. Awesome. All right. Well, I think it's time for us to move on to health news. Let me check the chat board here. There is someone on chat board. Hi, Deborah Evans. We see you. Thanks for listening, Deborah.
Wasn't she one of these ones that, because we changed her format, dropped off a little bit?
Yeah, and I felt bad. But, you know, some other people were actually asking, hey, what happened? But, you know, I don't want to ever disappoint Deb.
No. And the nice
She's
thing
a regular.
Is we know that our format's working, because now we weren't doing it for the last 2 weeks. People are now saying, what happened to your great format?
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, you know, I'm glad to see Deborah Evans back on the chat board. Welcome back. We're back to our old selves over here at the Dynamic Dojo Show. All right, so let's get to our health news. Now, this health news bit is going to actually be posted on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page here in just a second. This particular article is called "This Is Your Brain on Coffee." and why coffee might be beneficial to your health. So this particular story, I love this story, so I'm going to go ahead and read it. So this is from CNN. No, I'm sorry, not CNN. This is from the New York Times, actually, from this week. Why coffee may be beneficial to your health. So if you're a coffee lover, listen up. For hundreds of years, coffee has been one of the two or three most popular beverages on Earth. I wonder what the other are. I'm guessing beer. But
good guess.
Yeah. But it's only recently that scientists are figuring out that coffee has notable health benefits. Now, in one study from last year, researchers at the National Cancer Institute parsed health information from more than 400,000 volunteers ages 50 to 71 who were free of major diseases at the study's start in 1995. Now, this started in 1995, and the study kept going until about 2008. By 2008, more than 50,000 of those participants had died. But men who reported drinking two or three cups of coffee a day were 10% less likely to have died than those who didn't drink coffee, while women drinking the same amount had 13% less risk of dying during the study. Now, it's not clear exactly what coffee had to do with their longevity, but the correlation is striking. Other recent studies have linked moderate coffee drinking, so the equivalent of about 3 or 4 5-ounce cups of coffee a day, or one single venti-sized Starbucks, with more advantages. A reduction in the risk of developing type 2 diabetes, basal cell carcinoma, prostate cancer, oral cancer, and breast cancer recurrence. Well, who knew, right? Moderate coffee drinking. I know, it's weird. Now, it also appears that caffeine may also reshape the biochemical environment inside our brains in ways that could stave off dementia. So, I mean, wouldn't this be a great study for people with Alzheimer's?
Yeah,
or to stave off Alzheimer's, right?
It's
really cool. Now, in a 2012 study, researchers from the University of South Florida and the University of Miami tested the blood levels of caffeine in older adults with mild cognitive impairment or the first glimmer of serious forgetfulness, a common precursor of Alzheimer's, and then reevaluated them 2 to 4 years later. Participants with little or no caffeine circulating in their bloodstreams were far more likely to have progressed to full-blown Alzheimer's than those whose blood indicated they had about 3 cups worth of caffeine. Wow. Wow, just wow. There's still so much to be learned about the effects of coffee. I should go get some coffee. there still is so much to be learned about the effects of coffee. It's also unclear whether caffeine by itself provides the benefits associated with coffee drinking or if coffee contains other valuable ingredients other than the caffeine. In a 2011 study by the same researchers at the University of South Florida, for instance, this is with mice. They did this test with mice. Mice genetically bred to develop Alzheimer's and then given caffeine alone did not fare as well on memory tests as those provided with actual coffee. Nor is there any evidence that mixing caffeine with large amounts of sugar as in energy drinks is healthful. But a cup or 3 of coffee has been popular for a long, long time. And these researchers say, well, there's probably good reasons for that. So that is your brain on coffee. So apparently coffee may be beneficial to your health. So I'll raise a cup of venti double tall mocha for that. There's no such thing as a venti double tall mocha. I just realized that. A venti mocha. You can't have a double tall and a venti at the same time. See, that's why I need more coffee. I know, and that's why I need more coffee. Stave off that Alzheimer's. All right, 347-677-0699. That's our phone number here. So if anyone has any comments about this is your brain on coffee, feel free to chime in. All right, well, I think it's time for
Weird News.
Woohoo! You know, first weird news for a month.
I know. It's been so long, and I do want to preface this. You know, I found a weird news story I wanted to use because it was just weird, and the guy was stupid. The guy should be on the world's most dumbest criminals. But it had no details. Didn't tell where it was from, didn't tell what date it was, didn't tell anything, so I didn't use it. But basically, this woman, wherever it was, got her car stolen. She's on the phone reporting to the police from somebody's cell phone or payphone because she left her cell phone in her car. So she's telling the police it. So the police officer on the other end calls her cell phone and acts like that car is for sale and he's answering an ad.
Oh.
So this moron who stole the car says, okay, I will meet you, meets these people who thinks he's selling the car to and gets popped for a stolen vehicle.
You know what,
wow,
I have to say,
really?
To that? You know what I have to say to that thief?
You big dummy.
That's right. He shouldn't go around stealing cars if he's going to be stupid.
That's right. Well, it's stupid to steal cars in the first place. Well, and I told you, this one time I was watching Cops, and they were doing a reverse, not a reverse sting, but they were going after people with warrants on, for their arrest. So The cops were calling these guys and going, this is so-and-so from the D-Works company. You've won a TV, no obligation. You just have to report the findings and how good it is and that sort of thing within 30 days. So they show up there. The guy comes to the door. They arrest him. And it's so funny because at the end of the conversation, when they're hauling him out to the car to in handcuffs, they say, by the way, DeWorks is screwed spelled backwards.
Serves them right.
That's right. So, on to weird news.
Okay.
Some guy, and this is going to be relatively quick, some guys will go to desperate lengths to get free beer, even rob a store by pretending there's a dead rat in the cooler.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the method used by alleged criminal mastermind Ray Stoop in his effort to rob a Circle K in Fort Pierce, Florida, of $23 worth of Bud Light on May 26th. Investigators say Stoop, 26 years old, entered the convenience store near midnight and walked into an area of the store known as the Beer Cave.
Uh-huh.
He came out carrying two cases of brewskis and complained about seeing a dead rat. The cashier told police she found nothing dead, but turned around to see Stoop running out of the store with the beer. He was arrested for retail theft in front of his porch. Stoop's alleged criminal act took advantage of the fact that rodents and food are a gross combination in real life. However, in weird news, they're as delicious as the mixture of chocolate and peanut butter found in Reese's peanut butter cups. You know, I want to tell these people, you know, every place, every convenience store, retail store, mall, they all have cameras.
Yeah.
They can
find
you. This guy was stupid. I love watching the show World's Most Dumbest Criminals. There was one show I saw which was really funny. This guy went to hold up a liquor store. He pulled a knife on the clerk. There was a uniformed police officer standing behind him in line.
Oh, what an idiot. What an idiot.
So, we're going to move on to weird laws. These
weird
laws come from the lovely, hot state of Nevada. Now, Friday, my oldest daughter reported it was 115 degrees in Las Vegas, because that's where she lives.
Mm-hmm.
And summer hasn't even begun yet. It's going to get a lot worse. Well, in Eureka, Nevada, men who wear mustaches are forbidden from kissing women.
What?
Unfair!
Yeah. What?
In Nyla, Nevada, a man is forbidden from buying drinks for more than three people other than himself at any one period during the day. That's just strange.
No,
if I won the lotto and wanted to buy the whole bar around the drinks, I should be allowed to do that.
Yeah, I know, right? No buying rounds for people? That bites.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Other than three people. So if you buy for four people, you can be arrested for it.
Yeah.
Now, I thought this was a normal, everyday occurrence, but in Las Vegas, it is illegal to lie down on the sidewalk. I thought that happens all the time.
I know, right? If they're not trying to hand you, you know, little like X-rated pamphlets or whatever, they're lying down on the sidewalk. I thought it was normal.
Oh yeah, and you know what? In Clark County, Nevada, where Las Vegas is located, prostitution is illegal. Even though in I forget what county it is, where the Mustang Ranch is, prostitution is considered a legal act. Now.
Mm-hmm.
I've been sitting at slot machines in Vegas, and I've actually had prostitutes come up, sit down next to me, and start prostituting. They're really bold out there. It's insane. And now, remember what you and I just say, what we say all the time. If
there's
a law on the book,
a
problem. That's right.
Yeah, there's got to be a problem.
It is illegal to drive a camel on the highway.
Well, that sucks.
This is not the Sierra Desert. Who's going to have a camel in Nevada? Now, this next one's weird, and I don't know why. This could have had something to do with dust storms or things like that. But in Elko, Nevada, everyone walking the streets is required to wear a mask.
What? What?
Yeah. Those banks over there must could just go nuts with people walking in with masks. Because you see Halloween, every bank in the country has on the door, do not wear a mask when coming into the bank.
Yeah. That's so weird. Why would you?
I know. Huh. Well, this is perfect timing because it's 6:30 straight down, and that is the end of my weird laws.
Awesome. That was great. That was so cool. That was Bob.
Weird news.
All right. So we're going to take a short break. And during that short break, I'm going to see if I can get Grandmaster Daryl Vidal of Kempo Karate on the line. So if there are any students or colleagues of Grandmaster Vidal, and I hope I'm saying his name right. If not, please get on the chat board and let me know how to say it so that way I don't look like an idiot. Please give us a call, 347-677-7699, or just give a call if you want to learn a little bit more about Kempo. So again, we're going to be getting hold of Grandmaster Daryl Vidal. So let's go ahead and take a break. PSA, it'll be about 3 minutes, so we'll be right back after this.
This is Nnamdi Asamoah. I play football for the Philadelphia Eagles, but what I do off the field with United Way might be more important. I'm a volunteer tutor and mentor. Why? Because over a million kids a year drop out of school, and that's not okay. It takes 12 years to create a graduate, but it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be me, or it could be you. Studies show that if we get to these kids earlier, their chances are better, and kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. So join me in United Way. Suit up and take the pledge. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor. Because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and the National Football League.
This is Annie Lennox of Eurythmics, or RAD. Please don't drink and drive, and don't drive if someone else has been drinking. Thank you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
The only thing I didn't learn is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Eddie Morales from Kicking It Old School on KCAA 1050 AM. I want to take this opportunity to invite you to the martial arts event of the year, the Masters Hall of Fame, on Saturday, June 22nd, 2013, at the Orange County Hilton, located in Costa Mesa, California. This year's theme is Women in the Martial Arts. Our guest speaker will be Lisa the Black Widow King. We will be honoring many legends in the martial arts. Join Dan and I from Kicking It Old School at the Masters Hall of Fame, Saturday, June 22nd, 2013. Get your tickets now at mastershalloffame.org.
And now, on with the show.
All right, and we are back. If you're just now tuning in, you've just tuned in to Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio with Restita and Robert. Give us a call here at 347-677-0699. We've got a great guest lineup with us today. So to start, I'd like to bring on our next guest. Our next guest is Grandmaster Daryl Vial, and he has been training and teaching Kenpo Karate for well over 30 years. He's also trained in wrestling, Filipino martial arts, boxing, Wing Chun, and Wing Chun Kung Fu, and he also appeared as himself in the original Karate Kid movie. So y'all remember that movie, the original Karate Kid movie with Ralph Macchio and Pat Morita? And he was one of the tournament semifinalists, if I remember correctly. And he's also best known to have been the body double for Pat Morita's character, Mr. Miyagi, doing that crane technique on top of the log in that very famous scene in Karate Kid. Grandmaster Daryl also currently teaches Kenpo, karate, stick fighting, and self-defense for the Murrieta Parks and Recreation Department in Murrieta, California. It is me and Sifu Robert's greatest honor and pleasure to welcome Grandmaster Daryl Vial to our show. Grandmaster Vial, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. I'm honored.
Thank you, thank you. So for our listeners out there, 347-677-0699, if you'd like to ask Grandmaster any questions about Kenpo or his background, please feel free to call in. I'm going to hand the mic over to Robert because I think he's got a question for you to start with.
Great.
Grandmaster, please tell us about your beginnings in the martial arts. How did you get started?
Well, you know, I think everybody my age, and I just turned 50 this year, probably got a lot of the same indoctrination, which was Bruce Lee back mm-hmm. in the early 70s. Obviously, I was born and raised in San Diego, but we moved when I was about 10 to 12 years old to Chino, and it was a very new community. There were very few Asians there, so... As one of the few Filipinos in Chino, I really kind of migrated to, you know, martial arts. And, I was a small person, had to kind of be able to defend myself. And obviously with Enter the Dragon came out in 1973 and the other movies that came out, we really got into it, met some people. One of the first trainings I had even before Kenpo was a close neighbor friend of ours who actually started us in some kung fu and Filipino stick fighting even before I had got into Kenpo. And then right around middle school time, my instructor, Joe Losas, who still teaches in Chino, was offering his parks and recreation class in Chino, and we started, myself and my brother, and I guess you could say the rest is history, but that was, you know, in the early 70s. And then through high school, wrestled in high school, boxed a little bit, and really tried to get with as many different people as I could to, you know, train in other things. So once I was, you know, becoming a brown belt, black belt, in the early 80s, late 70s, I started to, you know, discover Wing Chun and more stick fighting, Filipino stick fighting, which obviously, as a Filipino kid, you know, I wanted to have that. We all use nunchucks, we all use bo staffs. So really, you know, without being you know, a baseball player or a football player. It was the main thing that I got involved with as a kid.
Well, Grandmaster, who was your influence in the stick fighting arts? Because back then, it wasn't as prevalent as it is today.
Good question. You know what? It was back then. The person I trained with Danny Nisanto. So right from the very beginning, I knew, you know, kind of who the main people were. I have not trained with Mr. Nisanto, and you know, obviously, I'm in awe of him and all his training. But you know, so back then, like you said, it was books. It was people that I sought out, and I did find several, you know, two or three people that all showed me these different systems that they had learned. And so when I teach now, I don't even call it Eskrima or Cali specifically. I just call it, you know, Filipino stick fighting, because it's what I know and teach is really just a blend of everything I've learned over the years.
Very cool.
Very cool. Awesome.
Awesome. Now, I'm sure our listeners are wondering. So, you know, for our listeners out there, Grandmaster Vidal, you know, worked on the original Karate Kid movie. Not this new one, but the original one from back in the... When did that come out? Was that 80-something?
Yeah, 1984. It was quite a while. Yeah, I think we're coming on 30 years here, so it's making me feel kind of dated.
Oh, sorry. Me and Bob are notorious for dating ourselves also. Like, I think the last time we dated ourselves, I think we mentioned something about, like, big wheels and light brights or something like that. And kids are like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, I know exactly what those are, so I'm not
sure.
Yeah,
right?
You.
So,
oh,
you know,
no, everybody out there, that was well before my time. I want everybody to know that right now.
You don't know what light brights are. You sank my battleship. Come on.
Or big wheels. I have no idea what you're talking about. I was way too young for that.
Uh-huh. Okay. Grandmaster, you'd worked extensively on that set, not only as playing yourself, in the kumite scenes, in the tournament scenes in the movie, but you were also a double for Pat Morita, who played the iconic Mr. Miyagi. So can you tell our listeners how you landed that role, and what was it like working on the set? That must have been the greatest thing ever.
Sure. It was amazing, because it was about 1982, so I was about 20 years old. I got my black belt at the age of 18, and through that time I had been doing a lot of local competition in the LA area. That was really kind of like the heyday of, that's when karate tournaments were $7 an event, and we didn't have any pads. There were no rubber pads. We would spar with just bare hands. I was a kata competitor my instructor Joe Rosas was really took me under his wing in that time and really wanted me to get out there. Obviously with Bruce Lee and all that, I had crazy hopes of, oh, I could be the next Bruce Lee, and you know, I just got to get into Hollywood and show them what I can do. And we were at this tournament, and I had done my kata, and then we were into the fighting. And after it was all over, a gentleman came up to me and said, oh, you did a good job out there today. How would you like to be in a movie? And I said, whoa. Yeah, of course. I jumped out of my gi, you know, and did whatever I did. And so they basically, you know, I called them, I returned their phone calls, they told me where to go. You know, I know nothing about the business. So I'm driving down to, you know, Paramount or whatever, Columbia Studios, and I probably said that wrong, Columbia Studios, and, you know, now I'm getting into the set. And next thing I know, I'm meeting with Pat Johnson, who was the set coordinator, and many know him as the main referee during the Karate Kid, you know, the guy with the dash. And he's the stunt coordinator, and he starts, you know, and I also met with Jerry Weintraub, the, you know, producer.
Oh,
the producer, and Don Abbotson, who's the director of all three of the first three Karate Kid movies, and you should know that he directed the first Rocky or the Rocky movies, and he's quite accomplished, obviously, as a director. And they started telling me about the story about, you know, this kid that learns karate, and next thing I know, they really have me zeroed in on both the roles that I ended up playing in. One is this technique where the kid has his leg injured, so he has to be able to do this technique standing on one leg. And the whole premise, you know, remember the premise of the whole movie is he trains him in these, you know, different ways, you know, painting fences and washing the car and all that stuff. And the crane technique was just another part of that whole scheme that, here's this mysterious technique that he learns, and he only sees it, you know, when they're at the beach, working on their balance. And it would just be a coincidence that, you know, at the end of the tournament, he would have one leg injured. So this crane technique all of a sudden is the only way to go. It's the only way that he can win. So they're telling me this, and I'm saying, oh, wow, this is crazy. You know, this is never going to go over. This is about as corny as heck, you know. And so he tells me, well, here's what we want to do. We want you to have, you know, your hands moving like, in a very, fluid kung fu, karate style, and then stand on one leg and do this kick and then land on this leg. And, I tried a couple different things. I said, well, really, you kind of got to, it's a double jump kick. You kind of have to start with one leg and do the kick and then land on the other leg. It's really, you really can't do it the other way. So I made up these fancy hand movements and, said, something like this. And they said, yeah, that's it. That'll work. So Pat Johnson actually had a stump, a cut off phone post in the soundstage where we were practicing this, and it was unsupported. It was just a freestanding little post. So I was supposed to practice this, and I'm like, well, it's got to be kind of secure. So he actually held it. He got down on his knees and held the post. And then I got up on top of it and did a couple of these kicks, and the director, John Albertson, was filming this, and he said, oh, that's it. That's what we want to do. And then after that, they kind of said, okay, well, we'll also need you for this scene, and we need you to train with all these other Cobra Kais. So for, approximately 6 weeks, we trained together with Pat Johnson and got all those Cobra Kai guys working on their kicks and punches. And so what you see there is really the result of, 6 to 8 weeks of training that they did.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Here, just do this. Oh, okay.
Well, the whole premise was, it was very, at the time I was thinking this is never going to go over.
Right.
I couldn't see it being, I think at the time, and I think every martial artist struggles with, what's real and what's form, what's traditional martial arts and what really works. And if you watch the Kung Fu movies at the time, you always looked at that and said, wow, that's not real. That wouldn't work,
You
can't pump your body up and jump 30 feet in the air. So I think we're looking at it, and I'm looking at this and saying, this is just going to be another crazy karate movie that, doesn't really hold much water in the real world. And then as we got into the filming of it, it wasn't all that convincing.
Yeah.
But when it came out in the movie, it looked great, and people loved it. So
people loved it.
And they still do. I'm amazed by the longevity of this movie and the crane technique. I mean, who would have known? I kind of call myself the most famous unknown person because everyone knows the crane technique.
And that is the most iconic scene that anyone who's done martial arts, even if they don't do it anymore, that's the best known scene that everyone knows. And I don't want to dare say that it's the best known scene outside of Bruce Lee movies, but nowadays, even the kids in this particular generation know about the original Karate Kid crane kick and wax on, wax off. It's become part of our vernacular.
Oh, I know. You know, I was just amazed this last holiday season how many times they did the whole marathon, Karate Kid marathon,
yeah,
in different channels. They would play Karate
uh-huh.
Kid 1, Karate Kid 2, Karate 3 in a row.
Uh-huh.
And then, which, you know, they would do it this week and that week, and it was just, it was amazing. And,
yeah.
You know, as a martial arts teacher, you know, for parks and recreation, I'm kind of low-key about it. I don't really talk about it. It's a long time ago, but invariably, you know, a coworker or a student will say, "Hey, I saw you in the movie." It's like, yeah, that was a long time ago.
that's so awesome. Like, you know,
that
my mom
is.
Loves the Karate Kid movie. She loves it. In fact, I think just the other day, like 3 days ago, I think, she was actually watching it on one of the other, you know, late night cable TV things. I'm like, "Mom, what are you doing up? It's like 2 a.m. I'm watching Karate Kid." I'm like, "Oh, we're going to be talking to the guy that, like, doubled for Pat Morita on Sunday." She's like, "What? That's cool." So, yeah.
Yeah, I have a couple of amazing stories that, you know, if you don't mind, I'll tell you about.
Oh, please.
You know, because it all has to do with this movie that has really, I mean, it's still around. It's still shown all the time. Mm-hmm. After my wife and I first got married, it was in 1986. You know, obviously, it's just a few years after the movie came out. It was a relatively big movie. And I would get recognized around martial arts circles. You know, if I went to a tournament, people know, "Oh, hey, there's Daryl," blah, blah, blah. We went on our honeymoon in Mazatlan. And we were on a little tour bus. And these kids, the, you know, from the Mexican kids, were doing the crane technique just off to the side over there. And I said, "Look at that. These guys are doing the crane technique over there."
Awesome.
You know, it really comes up quite a bit. And just, I have one more great story for you. Just recently, my wife, we both of us teach through the Parks and Rec. We think it's a great service to the community. And you know, we both do other things. So she teaches dance through the Parks and Rec.
Mm-hmm.
And one of her students' parents, who, you know, are a bit younger than us, like I said, I turned 50 this year. I think her parents are probably in their 30s, the little baby. She starts, talking and says, "Oh, yeah, my husband teaches karate," and, "Oh, yeah, he was in the Karate Kid." And this couple, the husband and wife, are so into the Karate Kid. Their jaws dropped, and they wanted to meet me and get an autograph, and, you know, kind of embarrassing. But this couple met, and their whole early time together was around the Karate Kid. So mm-hmm. now for every year for their wedding anniversaries, they do something like they go to golf and stuff, you know, the old place, or they go visit the mansion that you can still find that where, you know, they went. Or,
mm-hmm.
you know, the different landmarks that happened in the Karate Kid. And so it was just really fun to meet these people who, you know, a lot of their life is connected to this crazy movie from 30 years ago.
Wow.
It's an iconic movie. And in 1984, you know, it... Did you guys notice that there was a big influx of people wanting to learn karate right after that?
Well,
that movie came out, it was incredible.
Yeah, yeah, clearly. I mean, when after the movie came out, I think there was even, you know, talk in the whole dojo area, you know, arena in tournaments. Oh yeah, we got to be ready when this movie comes out, you know, we have to be ready to get all the students, and yeah, there was a big influx, and then, you know, it would die down, and then the movie would come out again, it would die down, you know. In the early days, it was only VHS, it would come back
yeah.
out, you know, or they'd show it again, and so for a long time, it would only reappear every 4 or 5 years, but then more recently, it's kind of showing up all the time.
Yeah.
And then with the advent
yeah.
of, you know, the Will Smith thing, and his son, and they remaking it and kind of pushed, you know, but people went back and watched the old one.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is. I think it's considered a classic. I mean, it was like, what, almost 30 years ago, right?
Yeah, 1984.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and it is considered a classic. I mean, even amongst the kids that I teach, I mean, they refer to it a lot, and I'm sure they'd be tickled pink that we actually spoke with you today. They don't know who they don't ever know who our guests are on the show, because I don't think they listen, but I'm sure they're going to be tickled pink when I tell them, hey, guess who I talked to yesterday. But
well,
yeah,
I've been talking to
you
quite a few. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I was just going to say, I was just going to comment about the influence of the Karate Kid movie. I was teaching karate in the Parks Department here in Seattle in 1984, and when it came out, you know, I had like maybe about 20 students, and then not even 2 days after the premiere, I remember this like it was yesterday, not even 2 days after the premiere, the community center calls me and says, you know, what's your cap on your class? And I'm like, well, why? And they're like, well, it looks like we're going to have to move you to the big room downstairs because 30 people just joined. I'm like, what? 30 people? So I was like, oh, my gosh, how am I going to teach 50 people at this point by myself without
amazing.
An assistant? It was amazing. And then then 20 people quit, and then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comes out, and I was like, 50
course,
more people.
And big backup.
Yeah, but the Karate Kid movie, and, you know, and I still talk to students from way back then that remember joining martial arts because of the Karate Kid movie. And they would agree that it is an iconic thing, and your involvement with the movie has created part of that iconic status, because without that scene on the beach, you know, and without Daniel-san's crane kick or whatever, you know, it just wouldn't, I don't think it would have been as successful as it was. So I do think that they picked the right man for that job, because you brought that thing to the screen. So cool.
Well, you know what? That technique is what tied the whole movie together, because that was
it. Did
he was taught that like an hour into the movie or so, and then he used it at the very end of the movie when he was injured.
Exactly. Yeah. It really was. It was the whole premise of the movie was around this you know, a different way of teaching, a different way of doing the karate, and then that whole tie in at the end. And you know, I'm amazed by how long it's lasted. I consider myself kind of like an innocent bystander, because, you know, obviously I didn't write the movie and direct the movie, but I was the person who happened to be doing that technique for them on film. And it's amazing that it just keeps coming and keeps showing.
Well, mm-hmm. You know, Grandmaster, what I find amazing is the impact that the media has on the social standing of America, basically. Bruce Lee comes out with Enter the Dragon, there's an influx in Kung Fu School. Karate Kid comes out, there's an influx. To go off that subject, my wife manages a pet store. Beverly Hills Chihuahua comes out. All of a sudden, a lot of people want to go out and buy Chihuahuas. You know,
that is a great point, because you know what
that
it is?
Is?
There are so many great accomplished martial artists out there, great schools, great systems, and this movie is one of those things that is recognized. You know, I think it really makes your point, because it's so far off the beaten track of, you know, Rosita, you know, we've been training for years and years. You know, karate is so much more than what you see in a movie or what you can say wax on, wax off. You know, it's so deep, it's so spiritual. Mm-hmm. There's so much mental and physical discipline. And, you know, what are we talking about for the last half hour is the crane kick.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And, you know, they didn't like me too much, because I actually got a free pass to go premiere the Karate Kid with Jaden Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, the producers or whoever's there always ask you questions. What did you think? I said, and I was the one who came up and said, it was too much like the original. And that is, you know, it's like, don't you guys have any new ideas? Okay, Wax On, Wax Off was taken in a new one by put your jacket on, take it off, put it on, put, you know, it was too much like it.
Well,
even though I
like
the movie, I still watch the new Karate Kid, and I saw the old one about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
I think a lot of martial artists who've been around for a long time probably, I mean, this is the way I felt. I will not bad talk the new movie, but, you know, why wasn't it called the Kung Fu Kid? It's in China.
Right. Exactly.
Chinese,
or the Wushu
Fu,
Kid
so.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, that was the first departure of the whole thing was, well, that's fine, but, you know, it really should be this, you know?
Yeah.
That was one of my thoughts.
Exactly. Even though I like the movie, I still watch it. Jackie Chan, Jaden Smith did a great job in the movie. One of my friends was a bodyguard at Will Smith's mansion, and he used to see people coming in just to train Jaden and got him into the splits and the whole thing. They just did a fabulous job on that movie.
Yeah, they did. But, yeah, the Grandmaster's right. You know, I wanted, you know, in a way, you know, I wanted to see how similar it would be to the original. But when they, you know, started doing Kung Fu right off the bat, you know, there was a little kid on the opening night when I went to go see it. There was a little kid sitting somewhere behind me that just screamed out, "That ain't karate, that's wushu." And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Wow.
I'm like, nice. Oh, my gosh. Whoa. Say how you really feel, kid. You know?
That's hilarious.
Daryl, you don't have a storefront. It's a very admirable that you teach for Parks and Recs. That's a very admirable position. What do you like teaching? What do you like most about teaching martial arts in that atmosphere to the kids coming up?
Well, I think part of it is that, and I hope my students don't take this the wrong way if any of them are listening, but we're getting the people who you know, can barely afford it, if you will, or couldn't afford a studio. You know, my thing is, it needs to be convenient, and it needs to be low cost. I even offered an extra discount for family members. So once you have, you know, if you have two kids, you know, I reduce the price, and then if I get three of them, I make the rest of them free, because I think it's just such a great experience for a family to train together, or a father and a son, a mother and a son, a mother and daughter. I think that experience of challenge and discipline together is really the most rewarding, both from a teacher and students studying something. I mean, how many sports can you really do with your kids? I have four kids of my own, and you know, they're all grown up now. But you know, I mean, you can't really play baseball, football, you know, basketball. You can in your backyard, but you know, when you get right down to it, you can go through the whole system, a whole traditional system, you know, Kempo or what other system you have out there, and train together and achieve something fantastic and get a you know, something that really connects you beyond just being family members. I think that's what I get most of it out of it. And the fact that I can offer it to people who, you know, might not be able to go to a studio just because, you know, it costs more, it takes a little bit more of a commitment. And the other thing I think is, you know, and again, I hope people don't take this the wrong way, but the way to stay in karate a long time is moderation. I mean, if you start karate, go 6 days a week, 5 days a week, a lot of people go do that for 6 to 8 months, and then that's it. Or, you know, they get their black belt and then they quit. But if through a community program, I'm doing it twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. But you can maintain Tuesday and Thursday for years. And I can have, so, you know, I'm not trying to rush people through the program. It takes them 6-7 years to get a black belt, but it's all done for the right reasons. You know, we're not we're learning everything. We're getting the quality right. You know, I'm getting them in front of my instructor's black belts. We're passing difficult tests. We're doing difficult things. I have a saying that says, by demanding excellence, you allow others to achieve excellence. And I think that's what I really like about that program is, you know, it's not that demanding. You can do it for a long time, and you can really get people seasoned in the martial arts, you know, by training over a longer period of time.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Very cool. Sifu Rusty was there when I got my sixth degree, when
mm-hmm.
I had a line of people ready to hit me.
I love it.
Actually, Sifu, you remember the episode, you remember the movie Airplane?
Of course.
In that one scene where they slapped that guy, and then there was a line of people with baseball bats
yeah.
and boxing gloves.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I felt.
Yeah.
But,
I remember
but
that.
But how could you be more honored, right, to have those people all step up and want to initiate you for the ranking?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I had one, I think she was about 75 years old. I never thought she'd pack that kind of a punch. She was Art Sohan's widow. And just almost laid me out.
I have to tell you, I just turned 50. Last year, I received my 10th Dan from my instructor. And they had a nice ceremony for me where, you know, many of our black belts and both his and my system came out. After he tied my belt on, we made a line and they all punched. couldn't be more honored.
Absolutely. That's a badge of honor. Absolutely, you're right.
It is. I mean, with all your contributions, you know, as well as being a kudan, a tenth dan, that's one of the, you know, there are plenty of reasons why you were nominated to the 2013 Hall of Fame, and I'd like to congratulate you in advance. I'm sure we'll meet you here in a couple weeks. But can you tell our listeners who nominated you?
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. William Christopher Ford, who is a great martial artist who I've known for many, many years. And it's an amazing thing with technology these days. I used to know him as Chris Ford when we were both probably 15, 16 years old doing karate tournaments. And he and I used to compete a lot together against each other. And, you know, we became, you know, tournament friends. We only knew each other from the tournaments, but, you know, and then I stopped going to tournaments. I either trained and maybe I'd go to one local tournament or here, but with the advent of Facebook, you know, all of a sudden, I got on Facebook and put my Vidal Kempo Karate Facebook because really a lot of people all over the world would seek out by my name and find me on, and so I have this Vidal Kempo Karate Facebook who I invite anybody to join me, and I found William Christopher Ford, and you know, and amazingly he's still training. He has a dojo there in the LA area, and he also you know, does a lot of Hollywood stuff and is in the Pirates Adventure part-time there and in Buena Park. And from that, we began communicating again with each other. And he's just such an accomplished martial arts artist. I'm just so honored that he would think of me, you know, for this award.
Oh, very cool.
That's
now,
awesome.
Grandmaster, are you bringing anybody with you this year?
Yes, I'll be bringing my wife, April Vidal. We've been married for 28 years this year in July. And,
oh, congrats.
Yeah. She'll be coming with me. It'll be great. Can't wait. I hope to meet
all
you guys.
Remember, Grandmaster, we're having a lot of seminars. We're having actually a women's self-defense seminar. Your wife can even participate in. We're having seminars.
I was looking at that, and I probably will come out to one of those. I'm looking at the choreography. I'm working on an independent project for a web series right now, and I'm going to be helping them with fight choreography. So I saw that on the seminar series, and I will probably be there.
Awesome.
Very cool. So you're coming out Friday night then, or Friday during the day.
Yeah, well, I'm local, so I can get out there in that afternoon series, and then we'll come back out for the award ceremony on Saturday.
Oh,
very cool.
He's about as far from Costa Mesa as I am, just the opposite direction. He's south of Costa Mesa, I'm north.
Oh, okay, so it's not going to take long at all. Awesome.
No, yeah, I'm not too far.
Very cool. Well, I just sent a friend request to Vidal Kempo Karate.
Oh, great.
Good.
I'll add you as I get it.
Awesome. Very here. Cool. Lots of great pictures on there. Lots of great pictures.
Oh, very good. So, Grandmaster, how may our listeners contact you? If they're interested in studying with you, if they want to friend you or whatever, how can they do that?
Well, they're certainly invited to friend me on Vidal Kempo Karate on Facebook. I keep that open. It's not my personal one, so you'll see that I have international friends from all over the world who have found me on this. That'd be great. If they in the area, then they can find my classes on Murrieta.org. That's the city's website, and they can see my classes on there. I have my Kempo class as well as a Filipino Sikh Fighting Club that I teach.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us for this really short interview, Grandmaster. It was a pleasure, and we look forward to meeting you.
And I look forward to meeting you too, but you have to promise me one thing.
Sure.
You'll just address me as Daryl.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm Bob, and she's Rosita or Rusty.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. The whole Grandmaster
right.
thing is very honorable, and it's great, but it's kind of hard to take that, you know?
So, I completely understand.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to misrepresent that, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
I do. Now, I'm running the seminar circuit this year, so we'll absolutely run into each other.
Great. I will see you guys very soon.
Very cool. Awesome. And me and Bob are trying to make it a point to get a picture with every one of our guests that we've had on the air. So we'll definitely we'll have to hit you up for a photo.
Absolutely. We can all do the crane technique.
There you go.
Very cool. Yes.
There you go. Awesome. Thank you so much, Grandmaster. We'll go ahead and see you in 2 weeks. Have a great evening.
Okay.
Thank you.
I can't wait to meet both of you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you in a little bit.
Okay. All bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye now. All righty. And that was Grandmaster Daryl Vidal. What a great gentleman. Just loved talking with him. All right. So our phone number here is 347-677-0699. We're going to have Professor Gurley Abad online with us here pretty soon, but we're going to go ahead and take another break. And in honor of the Masters Hall of Fame, I want to bring out a little tune here that's actually called Hall of Fame. And this particular tune is called Hall of Fame by the Script. We'll be right back with our next guest, Professor Gurley Abad, right after this.
The best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world. You can beat the war. You can stop the guy go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up. You can beat the clock. Yeah. You can move a mountain. You can break rocks. You can be a master. Don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you go find yourself.
Standing in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And the world.
Walk straight through hell with a smile. You could be the hero, you
politicians, be preachers, preachers. Yeah. Be believers, be leaders, be astronauts, be champions.
All right, and we are back. 347-677-0699. That's our number here at the Dynamic Dojo. Please call in if you have any questions for our next guest. If you're just now tuning in, we just had a great discussion with Grandmaster Daryl Vidal of Kenpo Karate. We talked a lot about his involvement in Kenpo and his involvement in the original movie, The Karate Kid. That was a great discussion, huh, Bob?
Oh my God. That was unbelievable.
We learned
a lot about the man. It was great.
Yeah, it was awesome. Very awesome. I'd like to now bring on our next guest. I'm very honored and pleased to bring on Professor Gurley Abad of the Kaju Kenpo System and nominee of the 2013 Masters Hall of Fame. Welcome, Professor. How are you?
Good, thank you. Aloha.
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 Thanks for joining us. Oh, my goodness. It's so great to have you. So if any of the Abad clan is listening, show some aloha and give us a call, 347-677-0699. Awesome. So normally, Professor, what we'd like to do is have our guests tell our listeners a little bit about their background in the martial arts. So can you tell us a little bit about how you got started in Kaju Kenpo?
I got started like in 73 after I birthed my first child, which is Angie.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I started in the garage with my then husband, Alan Abad, and there was Joe Tarango and some other guys. I was the only girl for about, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years. And
mm-hmm.
so I started back then with just the guys. So it was a hard way of lesson.
Mm-hmm.
But in another way, it made me a little fearless.
Yeah.
Come to think of it. Because when you're training with all you guys and you have to take it, then, you know, it does change your the way you think. But really, we're not invincible, but I'd like to think so at the time.
Yeah.
Of course.
I mean, it's Kaju Kenpo. I mean, come on, you know.
I know.
you kind of have to be tough to be to be in it. That's awesome.
And, you know, I think back then, too, it was like, you know, no mercy type of training.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if you broke something, it was, okay, get up and do it again type of way.
Yeah.
And it has to change nowadays, and that's for the better. But back then it was like that. I got hurt so many times that trying to pin baby's diaper with a broken hand was really hard to do.
Awesome.
But there was no mercy there. For
yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you know, I think when I started Kaju Kenpo, it was like during that time when that kind of training started waning off. But now it was like, oh, you got a black eye? You know, suck it up. You know, oh, you broke your shoulder, suck it up. It wasn't like blood on the floor like it was in the
exactly.
old days. But, yeah, thank God. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Times have changed.
Yeah. Now, your background is in the original Kenpo system, correct, in Kaju Kenpo, or? Was it in the original? How should I say?
Well, you know, Alan started me with Kadja Campbell. He was
okay.
When,
yeah, the original.
Kadja Campbell. Yeah. When Cijo came down from Hawaii to live in San Diego, so that's kind of when I started. When his involvement with Cijo started.
Mm-hmm.
So it was
awesome.
Kadja Campbell, but he took a lot of his background in Hawaii Campbell style and combined it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So that, especially the street fighting part of it all, because that's kind of what they trained. You know, it was mostly street fighting,
mm-hmm.
The element of surprise. So it was mostly that back in the 70s.
Oh, wow.
So, that was the kind of training you had.
Very cool. Now, I'm sure some of our listeners would be kind of curious, what would a typical class in Kadja Campbell be like in the 70s? Now, I'm curious, too.
Me, too.
You know, it was a lot of, I want to say calisthenics, a lot of push-ups, a lot of sit-ups, a lot of hitting each other, a lot of hitting yourself,
mm-hmm.
A lot of really, really forceful type of training.
Wow.
And you didn't hold back too much. You know,
mm-hmm.
One of our trainings when we were training on the base, Alan had we used to stand in line and get punches, right? You get into a squad, and at the end of the night, you get punches.
Mm-hmm.
So play. And we had a colonel in our class. At the time, I was still the only girl, and we had a colonel in our class, and he hit him really hard that it broke his spleen. So we wondered why he didn't come back for so long. And the colonel said that he had broke his spleen or hurt his spleen where he had to go surgery. So it was that kind of training we had that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think nowadays it wouldn't be so cool.
No.
So,
yeah.
You know, but that's the kind of training. It was really hard and always on cement for some reason. The schools that we picked was always on cement. And so the knuckle push-ups and the two-finger push-ups, you know, whatever
uh-huh.
he decided that, you know, was the most torturous we would do. but you know what? And we all came out good people, you know, from knowing how hard it is
mm-hmm.
To train right. like that.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, it's like every, you know, well, when I was doing Kadja Campbell, it was funny when you said every floor was concrete. Why is that?
Yes.
Yeah, it was all concrete. And then when Sifu Faircloth would decide to use me as a dummy, I'm like, oh, look, that's concrete. Yeah. Oh, look at that. And then when I finally started doing wushu, I'm like, what's this? It's a carpet.
Carpet? Exactly. That's what I said.
I know. What's this? Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, I was like, I got spoiled by the carpet. Oh, my gosh. All right, 347-677-0699. We are currently talking to Professor Gurley Abad of Kadja Campbell. So if you have any questions, please call in. And when you do call in and you'd like to talk live with our guest, please press 1. Because otherwise, I'm just going to think that you're listening. We've got some people listening right now on the board. So, you know, if you want to talk, just press 1. That way I know to pick up your mic. All right. Now, also, I understand, Professor, that you're also a teacher or a kumu at a hula halau, specifically halau hula o ualani. It's a hula school for all the listeners out there that aren't familiar with hula. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about hula and how you got started in it and how it's been a part of your life?
Well, I must have been 40 when I started to take hula.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really, really liked it. And so I took about 5 years, and then I moved here to Tucson. And then I met up with Ernie Manihuni.
Mm-hmm.
And his Polynesian Review and his daughter. When his daughter moved away, I took over the school. That's how I became the kumu. So my name is, my Hawaiian name is Ualani. So it is
my school. You know,
so
and I looked up that name, and it means something like rain from heaven, does it not?
Yes, the heavenly rain.
Heavenly rain, yes. Awesome. So
yeah.
Ula of heavenly rain.
Yeah.
That is so
yeah.
pretty. Oh, my gosh. Because, like, my my sister's Hawaiian name is Noilani, and my...
Noilani, yes.
Yeah, Noilani, and my niece's name is Kehlani, and I'm Lokelani. So it's like,
oh yeah.
I had to look it up. I'm like, oh, okay, Ualani. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I've been teaching for about 10 years, and the martial arts has really, really helped me have a keen eye of teaching hula. It really came in handy as to the respect of, you know, making things look clean.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's just the training from before,
mm-hmm.
From my martial arts that, you know, my students are real disciplined and they can't complain. And in the beginning, they didn't complain. But as, you know, 10 years and we're getting in our 50s and 60s, it was like, yeah, you're a little too hard on us. You know, about 10 years ago, they did not complain when I put them in a low stance. but they've been with me for about 10, 15 years. And we travel from Las Vegas to California to all around Tucson, and we dance professionally.
Awesome.
So it is so much alike, you wouldn't believe it. The two trainings.
Very cool. That's very cool. Awesome. I think I think later on I'll ask a little bit more about the spiritual side of hula. But I'd like to take a call because someone just called in.
Okay.
We have someone calling from area code 310. Isn't that like L.A. or something like that, Bob? 310?
I know exactly who that is.
Area code 310.
Grandma.
Go ahead. Oh, I hear Grandma.
Uh-oh, who's that?
Hi.
Go ahead.
Hi, Grandma.
Hi.
Aww.
Hi, my boy.
Mine, it's Kamaka.
I know it's Kamaka.
Oh, my
goodness.
Are you
going to ask Grandma a question?
I love you, Grandma.
Aww.
I love you.
Oh, my goodness. The cutest little Keiki ever.
That is so cool.
Grandma.
Yes.
What did Seijo do to you for one of your castings?
Oh, I want to hear this,
what did,
too.
Good question.
What did Seijo give to me at one of my castings? Ay, ay, ay. Do you really want to know that?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
The host do.
Well, at a private testing wasn't much of a testing, but it was a way of testing me and my abilities to react. Was grabbing me and hitting me with a book, and then stabbing me with a pen.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
and seeing how I would react. That was one of the things he did to teach me how to react quickly.
Oh, wow. To react against seemingly harmless objects. That's pretty cool, actually.
Very, very cool.
That's an ingenious, and that, you know, that's why Seijo is Seijo, you know, just an ingenious.
Yes.
Ingenious man. What a cute Keiki. What's your name again? Kamaka, is that your name?
It's Angie now.
Oh, hi.
Oh, Angie. You know what's funny? That's the first time I have ever heard Angie's son's name. He's been
Kamaka
Daddy for 2 years now that I knew her.
Yeah.
I was like, what's his name? Really? That's awesome. Hi, Angie.
Hi, guys. How you doing? Hi, Mom. I miss you.
Hi. You've been listening all this time?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they've been hanging on for like 20 minutes.
Oh, shoot. Okay, how long do we have?
We have another half an hour. We have another 30 minutes. Awesome.
You got your son to ask you that, right? And
I had to. I was like, Kamaka, call grandma now.
That was classic. A little bit when the kid comes on, I'm like, oh, that's classic. Good one.
I told you I'd call in and give you a hard time, Mom.
I know. I didn't know that was going to happen, though.
That's awesome.
I couldn't tell him the body part, the body parts that I got hit with. So
yeah.
Okay. Oh my goodness. Okay, listeners, our phone number here is 347-677-0699. So if you have a question for Professor Gurley Abad about Kadikembo or even hula, do call in. Now, I don't want to put Professor on the chopping block here, but this question is going to actually go to Angie. Angie, what was it like training under, were you mainly training under Dad or under Mom? Or both?
They were both my instructors, yes.
What was that like?
It was terrifying. No.
Was we really that bad?
Really, Mom? Did you have to ask that question? No. Let me just say it was good when you talk to a lot of students under Mom and Dad together. You knew who was the most strict and you knew who was the most technical. So Dad was technical and strict, but Mom was very strict. I mean, it was like kind of like she laid down the law. You didn't do something, there was no next time you'll do it. No, you coughed in class, you were doing push-ups. You smiled in class, you were doing push-ups. You know, it was if your horse stance wasn't low enough, you were doing something.
Well, Sifu, you know what's funny? Last year, I asked Sifu Angie if she had problems with guys hitting on her in class, and she flat told me, she said, my mom and dad were both my instructors. I didn't have that problem.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, it looks like we have another caller that just chimed in. I think this is another California number. Area code 949. Go ahead. You're on Dynamic Dojo. Area code 949.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hi. This is Gurley's cousin Leanne from California, and I just want to say that I'm very proud of her and all the girls and her husband Alan did a great job and promoting this Masters Hall of Fame on this.
Aww.
Hi, cuz.
Hi, cuz.
Hi, Angie.
Yeah, Angie posted it, and I said I got to listen to it because I'm just so proud of you. I'm just so proud of you guys and what you guys have done, and it's just so awesome that. Even though I haven't seen, and the first time I haven't seen Gurley in a long time, and I went to a show, and I said to this guy, oh, do you know who Alan Abad is? And he looked at me strange, and he said, why? I said, well, because I'm her cousin, Angie's, cousin. And he's all like, well, I'm Alan Abad. And out of the million of people that were there to see the show, I picked the person that was Alan Abad, and I think that was so awesome.
Wow.
That I didn't even know. I haven't even seen them in a long time. But when I went to the show, the person I did ask who I'm looking for, my cousin, and it was her husband, Alan Abad, and that was so neat. And I'm so glad to be part of everything again with the Ohana. So I'm very proud of you guys and that you guys are doing an awesome job. you know, and I will hopefully see you guys at the family reunion, maybe in September in Vegas, but very proud of you all. So you guys
yes.
take care. I love you guys.
Love you.
Bye-bye. Love you guys, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Thanks for calling. Oh, that was sweet.
Wow.
You haven't seen Auntie Leanne in about a year. Year and a half. 2 years almost. I haven't seen Auntie Leanne.
Wow. Yeah, it's been, yeah. The last reunion was at Grandma's.
Yeah.
OMG.
That's so
cool.
That is very
cool. Of all
cool.
the people to ask, that's pretty funny.
That is. And I do want to put a shout out to Tony Navalta that says he's listening.
Oh,
Tony
Navalta listening too. He could tell stories about mom too.
Oh, come on,
Tony.
We have area code 520 on the line. 520, go ahead. You're on Dynamic Dojo.
Hello.
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 Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You can.
Yes.
Oh, you can? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hi.
She just wanted to hear herself on the radio.
I can't even hear myself speaking.
Tell the listeners who this is so that way our listeners aren't going, what's going on?
This is April, my mom's youngest daughter.
April.
Hi,
how are you? Good to hear from you.
Good. I just want congratulations to my mom. Even though
Thank
this is my
you.
Room right now.
I'm in her house, in her room, and she's outside at the pool. And
oh,
she
that's
wants
funny.
To say publicly that she's proud of me.
Well, you know, it's
you go, Kahale.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, you know, me and Bob were actually hoping that we would get like some of the family on board with us and you know, talk a little bit about, you know, the you know, not only the training and, you know, but also, you know, some of the accomplishments that your mom has given to not only Kaji Kenbo, but the martial arts as a whole. I mean, you know, with both Professor Gurley and your dad, I mean, you know, they've made a great impression on Kaji Kenbo as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So very cool. Very cool. I was going to ask a question and I forgot. Oh, all this cool family stuff. This is cool. And I forgot what I was going to ask. So, Professor Gurley, who exactly, speaking of the Masters Hall of Fame, who nominated you to the Masters Hall of Fame?
And you can embellish, Professor. You can tell him what a great guy they are. How handsome they are, how good
yeah,
they are,
yeah.
that he has been
gee,
to your
I wonder,
family.
Gee, I wonder who it was.
The,
I don't know.
The good-looking guy on Facebook. I said, who is this guy? Do I know him? Just kidding. It was you, Bob. And I have to say thank you so much for this recognition. I really appreciate the recognition that, you know, that you've seen in my daughters and myself, you know. I would never think of being nominated or having an award like this bestowed on me because I've been teaching hula for so long. And, you know, come away from the martial arts just for a little while, but I do teach my grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much. Thank
so Sifu
so much.
Bob, Sifu Bob, can you tell our listeners what prompted your decision on bringing Professor into this you know elite Hall of Fame?
Well, you know, I was contacted by Sifu Manji about 2 years ago. Somebody was inducting, I guess, her uncle Myron.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked me about inducting her father posthumously, and I absolutely gladly did. And
right.
last year, you know, I wasn't sure where Professor Gurley came into it, because sometimes you have the spouses that are more of a support system.
Right.
And Sifu Angie told me, well, my mom was my dad's first black belt.
Mm-hmm.
And told me that she was a seagull in the system. I'm like, wow. And then I did a little more research, and I thought, this is a deserving individual, because I met her last year, and it was really touching, because, you know, I was on Dan Heck's radio show, the CEO of the Masters Hall of Fame, and I put him on the spot, because you know that all of us who are alumni that go to these events every year get a medallion of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Hanshi Dan, I want to give Alan Abad's widow, I want to give her his alumni medal. And I put him right on the spot on his show. And I arranged it that night. And I almost thought I saw a tear come to Professor Gurley's eyes when I did that.
I did. Yeah. I did.
That was so touching. I almost
it
cried,
was.
Too. I was like, oh, my God.
It was a good moment.
It was a good night. It was a great night.
Yep.
Yes, it was.
It's going to be another great night in a couple weeks. It's going to be so much fun. We look so forward to seeing you all again. This is going to be so cool.
Thank you.
It's too bad you didn't get the girls to dance for you. They have their own now. My daughters dance as their own group.
Mm-hmm.
I tried about 2 years ago.
Oh, you did?
Because I had met the girl's taiko instructor, because her
taiko instructor, yeah.
Yeah, and her granddaughter and my daughter were in the same volleyball league. And we sort of had this connection. And I tried to get them down there, but I it didn't happen.
Oh.
Hmm. You know, Sifu
okay,
Bob, I wonder... I don't mean to be putting the girls on the spot either, but, you know, I wonder, do you think Hanshi Dan would be up for, like, maybe one dance from the girls in honor of all the nominees and the event?
It may be too late.
Okay.
At this point.
I was just wondering. I think it would be
okay.
Cool, but...
You know, I think... Because of the entertainment, I think that they've stepped back from that aspect, because they've had entertainment in the past, and some of it's gone really well, and some of it hasn't.
Oh,
so they've stuck
okay.
Yeah. Event the last couple of years.
Well, yeah, the taiko was like 15 minutes, you know, and it's like, yeah, you know, you know what I mean. So yeah, I was just wondering, because one dance would like be what, you know, 4 minutes or something like that. I was just wondering.
And Sifu Angie, I know your family is huge. You've got this large family. How many people are coming this year? Because at one time you told me about 11.
Yes. This year, Sifu Dolly's pregnant, Sister Dolly's pregnant, so she won't be able to make it. But right now, when is it, Mom? Four of us? Five of us?
There's four. Five of us.
Yeah, five of us.
There was six
Very
of
cool.
us.
Yeah.
One can't travel.
Right. I was wondering about that. I wasn't sure how far along she was and if she was going to be able to make it or not because of the time frame.
Yeah.
Let's hope she doesn't try to go into labor or anything.
Right.
That wouldn't be cool.
No.
Like, gotta go, guys.
Yeah.
No, and it was cool last year. I actually judged some of... Sifu Angie's and Sensei Jason's students at the Lima Lama tournament, which I've been asked to judge at again this year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes,
cool.
I did see you there, yes.
That was sort of in between. The Masters, we sort of hooked up again. It was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It was. I really enjoyed that tournament. And
oh, that's right. That was the time that you ran out before anybody introduced you to me.
Yeah. No, I did. We did.
You
was wearing the ball cap, right?
Right.
Yeah.
As you reach my age, the hair starts going away because now I have kids. I'm married, you know. So the hair starts running away from me, so I wear a bald cap.
Yeah.
Is that?
No, I do remember seeing you there.
Yeah, and Angie took grand champion for what was it, forums that year?
Oh, that's right, Ange. That's right.
Right on.
I might have to go back and defend my my title.
There you go. Teach those kids what's up, right? So Tony Navalta says on the chat board, everyone sounds young on the radio.
Oh. Well, Professor Gurley looks like she's about 35.
Oh, I wish. I wish I could turn back the clock.
No, I mean, you know, me and Sifu Bob were talking about this the other day, how all of you look so young, and, you know, I'm wishing that I can age as gracefully, you know, and it's, you know, it's just incredible. You guys are just so beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you know, awesome. One time I remember asking Angie if there was anybody that wasn't just absolutely gorgeous in her family. She never did answer me.
Oh, I don't know.
You're making them blush, Bob.
I am. This is a good thing. Now, Professor, are you still involved with the Avod school in Arizona?
Oh, Dolly School. Dolly is not at her own school. She's out of
what's Kaju her name? AZ.
Kaju AZ. So they're still Kaju Campbell, and I do know the instructors, and she does teach at their school, but she doesn't have her own school. But I do go to their tournaments sometimes. And I've been to like one or two of their promotions, but she hasn't opened up her own school. No, she's teaching at Kaju, Arizona.
Oh, very good, very good. And that is headed up by one of Alan's students.
No, and what is the school?
Siegel Kelly Quarter. He was
Siegel Kelly Quarter and Jan, his wife.
Siegel Jen.
Yes, Siegel Jen. It's headed
and
up by
both
of them.
Yes, and my dad did promote Siegel Kelly Quarter.
Oh, very
he
cool.
Was,
well,
yeah,
after this
so,
year, since some of your participants have dropped off, I think we'll all be able to share a table. I was going to try to get two tables, but without all of your family coming, that's limited. So I think we might be able to all sit at the same table this year.
Oh, good.
Oh, that would be great.
That would be cool. How big's the table?
10 top.
Oh. Huh. Okay. Huh. Cool.
All you have to get is five more people.
Yeah. See, I just want to make sure that my table is close to your table, Sifu Bob, because I think it would be really, really fun. They better not put me across the room from you guys.
Well, and you know that's going to happen. That's
I know, right?
That's going to happen, that you're at one corner, I'm at the other. It's just,
I'm going to have to start switching out name cards or something.
Making sure it's all on one table.
Yeah, yeah, or at least together. Because I think I've got like about eight people that are probably going to be at my table, and then like see from Bob's table. It just, you know, let's just put the tables together. I think it'd be great.
Absolutely. So, Professor, what do you like about teaching the martial arts?
You know, back then it was, you know, raising raising the kids, you know, teaching them young. And because I was the one that always took the new students, if they knew their basics well, then they would do well when they went to Allen, Professor Allen. So for me, working with the kids was something that I really, really now appreciate. Maybe back then I didn't know that that's what I was doing, but now I realize that the best thing was to teach the kids, because that's the foundation of any martial art, is getting them to know the disciplinary part of martial art, and also teaching them conditioning first before they do anything. So a lot of the kids that I taught back then had a lot of conditioning. Although sometimes they thought it was too much, they now appreciate it at this time. So they did a lot of conditioning. They did a lot of cardio. They did a lot of repetition. But you know what? It became second nature to them. So if anything I got out from teaching martial arts was that, what a benefit that I gained through watching and teaching them. They taught me more than I could ever teach them. So that's what I loved about martial arts.
Oh,
now,
very nice.
Now.
Very
cool. If teachers now, you know, instructors now, you know, teach kids in that way, you know, just out of appreciation that they can, you know, like, I want to say, not curb their life, but construct their life in a way how can I put it, to be better human beings at a young age, what type of discipline that they should have. I think the kids would stay in martial arts much longer, and it would grow even bigger or larger if we had that type of sense of teaching nowadays. Because that's how I teach my hula now, knowing what I've learned back then and the appreciation I have just to encounter young adults and get them and to teach them something even more with humanism than just, you know, kick and punch and just fight. So that's what I've learned. That's
very
the most
cool.
I like.
Very cool. Now, looks like Tony Navalta has a question. He just typed this up on the chat board. He wants to know, quote unquote, how much easier or harder is it now than when we were training back then in the 1980s?
How harder is it now?
Yeah, as far as training, I guess. How much harder or easier, or how much easier or harder is it now than when we were training back in the 80s? So I'm guessing probably how much easier is it now in comparison to the old days?
Well, compared to the old days, I think, you know, a lot of the old days was like, like no mercy type of way when we trained. You know?
No mercy.
Like, yeah, there was kind of no mercy back then, you know.
Oh,
and
you know,
train.
Tony just wrote, I think he meant teaching students. Is that what you meant, Tony?
What?
How much harder or easier it is now teaching students than it was in the 80s? I'm waiting for him to type back.
Oh, okay.
Well, while
I think
we're
I might have
missed that. Professor, I want to ask you, as a mom, with your daughters involved, were you harder on your own family than you were on normal students?
Hell yeah.
No.
Sorry, Mom. I thought I was on mute.
You know, and our family was like, you know, do as you're told and don't answer back, and if you can't do it, get off the mat. You know, that was the type of training they had, and it was like, you're gonna cry? Okay, cry. Get out the mat. So they had, you know, even back then, I look at myself, I'm like, huh. So that's why these girls are so headstrong today.
Well, you know, nice. Back then, though, I mean, it was like how I was raised. You know, you're going to cry, then, you know, go to your room, you know, I told you not to do that, but you did it anyway. And now you're crying because I catch you. You know, you got it coming, right? That's how I was raised. And, you know, in martial arts, too, you're going to cry, you know, suck it up. But, you know, if I do that now, I've got parents pulling their kids out. So it's kind of
like
you can't be as strict, and that's why kids will quit martial arts because, oh, then it gets too hard. Oh, no,
yes.
Mommy, I want to quit. I want to do something else, right? And it's like, oh,
right.
Gosh, you know. And it's, so it's, I guess, you know, I guess it is hard sometimes to teach not only humanity, but also the sense of discipline. So
yes,
then
right.
Tony Novalta goes, LOL. Oh yes, she was strict. Tony, you rock. Oh my gosh.
Well, yeah, I had his whole family at one time.
That's funny.
No, I want to know. We've got Jason, Angie, and you coming. Who's the fourth coming?
Oh, Amy. Amy is coming, and April is coming. Me, Angie, April, and Amy.
Oh, okay, and Jason. So we got five.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, very cool.
Jason's
very
one of the
cool.
girls.
Yeah, you
Jason
want to come in with
protector.
The girl.
Very cool.
And he's probably sitting right there with you, isn't he?
Yep.
I thought so.
Well, we are unfortunately getting to the last couple of minutes of our show. I just want to thank you, Professor, for joining us. And, of course, Angie and April, thank you for calling in. That was so much
thank
fun.
You, thank you, girls.
And I want to send a shout-out there to Tony, who says, my legs still hurt from those days. And thank you, Deborah Evans, again for listening. Thanks for being a great regular. And thanks to the other guests that have logged on, although I don't know who they are. I've got guest 11, 13, 4, 5, 5, 6, 0, guest 13, 8, 15, and guest 13, 8, 76. Thanks for listening. And thank you, Bob, for being a great co-host always.
Before we end, there's
okay.
one more thing, actually two more things. Do you prefer the title Professor Girly, or can we call you Girly at the event?
You can call me Professor Girly.
Can I call you Auntie?
You know what? That's even more prestigious, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I figure. So that's why I got to ask. You know, can I call you Auntie? So, yeah.
Yes, by all means.
Oh,
now,
okay.
If anybody wants to say hula. Look up Professor Girly up on Facebook. Contact her if you're in the Arizona area and want to take up hula.
Yes,
please do. Hala hula o walani. So go check
yes.
it out, you guys. It's hula. It's a beautiful art, and I'll tell everyone out there right now. It's not just steel guitar and Don Ho for Lichelle. It's an amazing, amazing art form. So go check it out. Really find out what it is. So thank you all so much.
Mahalo to everyone
Mahalo.
That called in.
Yeah, Mahalo. And we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Yes.
Awesome.
Thank you.
All right. Good night,
Aloha.
Everyone.
Good
Aloha.
Night. Thank you. Aloha.
Good night, everyone, and good night, listeners. We'll talk to you all next week.